Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected Shama'a. My name is Tamiz Mohammed and I'm the head boy of Islamia College. On behalf of the Islamia Governing Council and the Islamia Board of Trust and the larger Islamia family, I would like to convey Muharram Mubarak to all Musallis today. May Allah grant us a year filled with blessings and prosperity, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, today us, the students of Islamic College, have been blessed with the opportunity to officiate the Jumu'ah. The adhans will be given by Abdullah Palika from grade 10, and alhamdulillah, I've been given the privilege of leading the Salah. So without further ado, I would like to present today's speaker, Sheikh Saadul Akan, the CEO of Islamic College. As this Tuesday, the 9th of August, will be Women's Day, Sheikh has aptly chosen the topic, Quranic reflection on women. So without any further delay, Bismillah, Sheikh.
I wish I could speak slowly and clearly like that, mashallah. Allah bless you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness, we believe in all the prophets who came throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected ulama, huffaz, qurra, elders, respected youth, teachers, educators, learners, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace at this auspicious hour of Jumu'ah in this magnificent house of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Three brief points I wish to focus on today. One is about commemorative events. The second is about the reference that the head boy made to Women's Day, and hence we have a public holiday in this week coming. And also, more importantly, about how women are presented in the Quran to clear up some misperceptions that others may have or that we ourselves may have. To begin, regarding commemorative events, we need to realize that to remember important people and significant events are fundamental parts and fundamental and essential for the preservation of history and also for the continuation of any legacy. Because if you forget the history, you disconnect yourself from the past, but you also are in the process eliminating the legacy. And therefore, commemorating people and commemorating events have been a fundamental practice in virtually every society throughout history. So, commemorative events, whether religious, some are not religious, but are important and significant and worthy of remembrance and worthy of commemoration. So commemorative events, whether religious, whether political, whether social, all of these focus our attention on significant personalities or major events that serve as a motivational lesson for generations to come. So historically, for example, some events occurred before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we commemorate. For example, Eid al-Adha, sacrifice, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, centuries before the Rasul's time, but it's incorporated as part of our practice. Some among us fast on the 9th or 10th and 10th and 11th of Muharram to commemorate an event that occurred before the Rasul's time. That is the saving of Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun. Some events we commemorate occurred during the lifetime of Rasulullah. For example, Laylatul Qadr, the occasion of the revelation of the Quran, the inception of the revelation, and so on. But there are also events of significance, and I repeat, events of significance that occurred after the passing of the Prophet and that constitute part of our history and legacy. And they serve as a motivational lesson for generations to come. For example, the martyrdom of the Prophet's beloved grandson, Imam Hussein at Karbala, on the 10th of Muharram, on the 61st year of Hijrah. Nobody of any madhab or any time in history ever fasted the fast that we do because of Karbala or because of Imam Hussein. Get that very clear. But the event itself is significant because there is a tremendous moral lesson that can be attained from this human tragedy, this historic tragedy, that involved the brutal slaying, the merciless, brutal slaying of the Prophet's grandson, killed by corrupt, self-serving Muslim leaders who unashamedly killed that person of whom the Rasul said in authentic hadith documented in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, by Imam al-Tirmidhi and by Ibn Majah, Al-Husayn minni wa ana minhu, ahabba Allah man ahabba Husayna. I am, Husayn is from me and I am from him. Allah loves those who love Husayn. That incident of his killing, not only that, they stripped his sister, the Prophet's granddaughter, naked, paraded her in front of people. They took his head on a sword, Husayn's head on a sword. That Husayn of whom the Rasul should get down the minbar when he gave a khutbah to pick him up. That Husayn, when the Rasul went on the sujood, sat in sujood until he got off not to disturb him. My point I'm making is we get in debate, but we don't fast because of this. The Rasul didn't commemorate this. The event is significant in our lives. And there are lessons for us to be learned, but that commemoration, we do not speak about it. In fact, we have reached a cowardly stage where so many among us are even uncomfortable mentioning it. And I can assure you, some will come after khutbah and say why I spoke about this or mentioned it. Tragic indeed. You see, commemoration of Ashura, 10th of Muharram, every year for me, it serves as a reminder of the sacrifice of righteous people throughout our glorious history. Our history didn't begin with Rasulullah, it didn't end with his passing. It began from the beginning of time, from the first prophet was Adam, through Rasulullah, through his followers, until the day of Qiyamah. Revelation stopped with Rasulullah, but lessons we learned throughout history. So, the commemoration of Ashura on the 10th of Muharram every year serves to remind us of the sacrifice of the righteous throughout history. From Prophet Musa alayhi salam against Fir'aun before Rasulullah's time, through to Imam Hussein at Karbala after Rasulullah's lifetime. Because why? Both of these connect us to our larger history, connect us to our continued legacy. And it makes people aware of then and now, of those who bravely stood up, who selflessly and principally stood up for what was right, but also, and that's why it's uncomfortable, because so many of the people who are now in positions of authority in Muslim lands have exactly the Yazidi mentality, and Hussein doesn't suit them very well. It exposes those who watched what was happening, who knew what was right, who knew what was wrong, and yet did absolutely nothing. A warning and a lesson for us. But as for a fixed memorial day or commemorative event, generally it serves as a significant tribute to a life or to events of importance, but it's also a means of passing on a legacy, as I've said, for those who are to come after us. It is in this light that we here in South Africa commemorate Women's Month or Women's Week and more particularly on the 9th of August, we have a public holiday, Women's Day. And this arises from an incident that occurred in 1956, when mass march of women to the Union buildings in Pretoria on the 9th of August 1956 to hand over a petition against the past laws. And for those young people who may not know, you had to carry, those who were black, so-called black, had to carry a pass, a document on you to give you permission to be in a particular area. If you were in that area without the document, you could be locked up immediately. And not only that, you needed that to work and also even to pass through. Because sometimes you couldn't go past through some towns. You couldn't go through Bloemfontein after sunset. And that applied to everybody who was non-white, by the way. This was the reality. So they were demonstrating against that unjust pass law. And hence, eventually, that march was led by four primary women: Lillian Ngoyi, Helen Joseph, Sophia Williams, the Brain, and Rahima Musa, after whom a hospital is named in Johannesburg. The brave action of the women on that particular day became somewhat a commemorative event, which we now call Women's Day in South Africa. And the focus has subsequently become not only the gallant political action that occurred through that march on the 9th of August, but also about the appreciation of women as a whole. So having spoken about commemorative events and the historic background that granted the impetus for the 9th of August and Women's Day, I want to come to the topic I want to focus on for a few moments. It's often perceived by critics that there is a lack of appreciation or that Islam undermines women. And I therefore wish to take this opportunity, where there is a national focus on women, by paying attention to the subject and looking at it and how the Quran's egalitarian approach, egalitarian representation, the reflection of women in the Holy Quran, a reflection which very often is misperceived by those who may not be of our faith, those who may not be Muslim, but very often misrepresented even by those who consider themselves Muslim. So a few general points at the outset we need to understand. That all of humankind emanate from one source, min nafsi wa'ida. And from that partnership of male and female, خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. So we emanate from one source. Number two, human beings, male and female, and particularly more so in believing male and believing female, are integral, interdependent components of society. Integral, interdependent components of society. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. At the same time, male and female efforts are of complete equal worth in the estimation of Allah. إِنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. Never will Allah allow to suffer the loss of the labor or the fruits of the labor of anyone, whether it be male or female. You are members one of the other. One of the most problematic issues among religious people is how some among us misconstrue culturally inherited chauvinism as part of our religiosity. We misconstrue culturally inherited chauvinism as part of our religiosity. And Allah clearly tells us that we are members of one another, of the human race, equal in our value, in our worth, and in our deeds. And Allah reminds us, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرِ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. But the bottom line is, whether nations or tribes, male or female, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The only criterion of preference, irrespective of color, of language, of nationality, of age, of gender, the only criterion of preference by Allah is taqwa or piety. And piety is only measurable by Allah. No human being can measure piety. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Even in the time of the Prophet, some of the women were given a wrong impression by other women, menfolk, that men were more privileged and that the flow of language seems to favor or give preferential treatment towards men. And the Prophet's beloved wife, Hind binti Abi Umayyah, or her name as we know her, Umm Salma, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha, raised this issue of the misperception in the Rasul's lifetime. And she went to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, some people assume, and even the ladies, that men are preferenced. How do we clear this misperception? And Allah revealed a verse, Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimati, wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minati. A very famous verse where Allah says, for Muslim men and Muslim women, believing men and believing women, for devout men and devout women, for genuine men and genuine women, for patient men and for patient women, for constant men. He emphasized men and women separately. A'adda Allahu lahum maghfira. 10 categories Allah gave. A'adda Allahu lahum maghfira. Allah promises all of them. Those who do, those who are righteous, who are pious, who are good. Allah promises them maghfirah and a tremendous reward. The Quran, we must realize, at the same time, does not give a one-dimensional representation of women. It's not one-dimensional. Female personalities, the Quran, serve as an example for all humanity. It's not that they serve example only for females. And if you look in the Quran, from Hawa, alayhi salam, whose womb is the source of human origin as families, for example. Humanity started with Adam and Hawa, but the humanity was perpetuated through the womb of Hawa. So we come as children of Hawa from that union between Adam and Hawa. So there we find the womb of Hawa as the symbol of human origin and of human equality as families after the creation of Adam and Hawa. Ummi Musa, whose name was Ayarkha, according to some, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, who encapsulates the nurturing spirit so much required for human beings. Ohayna ila Musa al-ard'ifa idha qifti alayhi falqif. Allah speaks about her nurturing spirit. Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, Allah refers to as the embodiment of astute leadership, of excellent management skills, of judicious wisdom. Inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuha wa utiyat min kulli shay' wa laha 'arshun 'azim. Allah speaks about authority and power and ownership. Delegated responsibility. Hannah, Anne, or Anna, the mother of Mary, is an icon of nobility that Allah refers to in Al Imran. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطَنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ. An icon of nobility. And then Mary herself, who is the essence of virtue. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَرَكِ. We have chosen you and we have purified you. So critics of Islam very often say that Islam women are referred to in the Quran primarily as secondary figures, as wives to their husbands. They are referred to incidentally because it's reference to men and these happen to be their wives. That's not the case. You look at Isa alayhi salam, the Messiah, Al-Masih, mentioned 25 times in the Quran, 25 times by name in the Quran. 16 times he's referred to as Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. Isa, the son of Mary, and only 9 times as Isa by himself. So, there's an incident, Khawla binti Tha'alaba, a lady who complained about her husband, made a dua to Allah, about her husband, about the practice which was prevalent in Arab society, where, what they call dihar, where a man could just say something, you know, you're like the back of my mother, which is a term they use in those days, which immediately implied divorce. And she complained to Allah. She complained to Allah in a dua. And Allah responded with a revelation to her dua. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاورَكُمَا. Allah responded to her, banning that practice among the people. But not only that, in the time of Sayyidina Umar, one day he was speaking among people, among important people, and a lady came by, and he left them and he paid attention to her. And the one person said, "Oh Umar, oh Khalif, you're paying attention to this lady and we are senior people sitting here." So he replied, "Do you know who that is?" Innaha Khawla binti Tha'alaba. This is Khawla binti Tha'alaba. Qad sami'a Allahu qawlaha min fawqi sab'a samawat. Allah listened to her when she spoke from the 7 heavens. Ayasma'u rabbul alamin qawlaha wa la yasma'u Umar? Allah listened to her and paid attention to her. How can I not pay attention to her, Umar? This incident. So it's very important to realize that there's a distinct acknowledgement of also women's individuality, because we have this notion of a blanket approach, of a submissive, blanket, secondary, subservient approach which may be our cultural understanding, but not the Quranic reflection. For example, there are women who are great. There were women who are evil, but because they were great or because they were evil, not because they were women. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the homes of the Prophet. There were those who came from the homes of the Prophet who guided people, yet the women in those homes were deviant. For example, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبَدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. They came from within the home. These prophets were preaching Lut and Nuh alayhi salam, and yet in their household, these wives were deviant and did not follow them. At the same time, there were sometimes women who stood by themselves, who had no one to defend them, who were ostracized by the society because of their prejudices. And an example of that is Mary. وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّتِي أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَنَفَقْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. Mary was accused by her people when she brought the baby, Jesus, Isa, alayhi salam. And she stood by herself, defended only by this little child. And then, of course, you find in the house of Pharaoh, the archetype of oppressors in the Quran, that symbol of oppression, Fir'aun. In the house of that Fir'aun, in the house of a prophet, you had people who were deviant. In the house of Fir'aun, you find Asiya, one of the leaders of the women of paradise, who brought up a prophet in the house of that Fir'aun. He didn't grow up in the area of the Fir'aun, in the school of the Fir'aun. She brought him up. What kind of unique leadership, love, compassion, commitment did she have to bring up against the wishes of her husband? She brought up a righteous prophet who would eventually rise against her husband. But the guts and the ability and the nobility to be able to say, I'll nurture this child, and so on. So the significant message regarding the Quranic perspective of women that we should realize and internalize. The Quran does not privilege men over women in their biological capacities as male, or treat the man as the normative self and the woman as the other. Just because the Quran acknowledges patriarchy, in other words, male responsibility, it does not imply male superiority. You see, wise ones amongst our forefathers have said, "Ma akramu an-nas illa ma akramu an-nisa illa kariman." Wise ones have said, men of noble character honor women. Those men who are vile and dishonorable tend to dishonor women. And the Rasul himself in a hadith documented by Imam Tirmidhi said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَاهِمْ. He was telling his companions, the males among them, the man most complete in faith among you, among you, those who have most complete religion, complete faith, is the one who has the best character. And the best among all you men folk are those who are best to their women folk. There is a dire need for us to reread, not unread, not necessarily reinterpret, reread the message of the Quran. Not as a book interpreted by men for men, but as a book of guidance for humanity at large, comprehensive and inclusive, impartial and fair, hudan linnas, guidance not even for the Muslims alone, not even for the muttaqeen alone, guidance for all of humanity. Always remember the Quranic directive, wal mu'minuna wal mu'minat, ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Ya'muruna bil ma'roof wa yanhauna 'anil munkari wa yuqimuna as-salata wa yutuna az-zakata wa yuti'una Allah wa rasulahu. أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. The male believers and the female believers are helpers and protectors and carers of each other. They enjoin what is right and they forbid what is wrong. They establish, they pursue spiritual development and up, you know, and piety through prayer. They manifest their generosity and kindness to society through charity, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. Equally in all of them have Allah promised mercy, for surely Allah is exalted in might and in power. Indeed, Allah is the most wise. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.
Alhamdulillah, we say JazakAllahu khairan to Sheikh Sadullah for that thought-provoking and informative lecture. May Allah grant Sheikh many, many more years filled with health, inshallah, to continue to guide and inspire us as a Jama'ah and as the students of Islamic College. There are just a few announcements. On behalf of the Habibiyya Sufi Masjid of Cape Town, with the extend an invitation to the Jama'ah for the annual Muharram program that takes place this long weekend. The details goes as follows. On Friday night, they will have a special program led by the CTIEC with guest speaker Mufti Harun Al-Azri. Saturday night starts with a lecture after Maghrib by Maulana Yusuf Parker, and after Isha, they will have the annual mass thikr. On Sunday night, there will be a lecture program which continues after Maghrib, and the main Ashura program will take place on Monday night, corresponding to the 10th of Muharram in the Masjid. The program closes after Asr on Tuesday, 9th of August, with Iftar and Niyaz supper to be served after Maghrib. All are welcome. For further details, one can see the Masjid notice boards as well as the social media pages. The Habibiyya Sufi Masjid encourages all those at Jama'ah to bring along family, friends, and support the many food stall vendors, inshallah. The program at year at Masjid al-Furqan will be from 5 p.m. until Maghrib on the 9th of August, inshallah. Please feel free to bring anything along to share for iftar, and the Masjid will try to give out takeaway food, inshallah. Lastly, we make dua for Hajjah and the Imam Muqaddam, who is very ill. May Allah grant her and all those who are ill complete shifa and kamila, inshallah. Shukran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض وقال الله تعالى والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم وقال الله تعالى إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه إن من أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. اللهم صل، اللهم احفظنا من كل. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه: يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فاجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى. ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى، الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. الله أكبر.
سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربي فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتسبيحنا وتهليلنا ودعاءنا وجميع أعمالنا يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس اشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا ألما نسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يشفينا واشف مرضى المسلمين جميعا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا يا الله نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى والموت على دين الإسلام اللهم إنا يا الله نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا مولانا يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.